Acts chapter 2. Happy birthday, Mike. The campus students are not here. I don't know if you noticed. We got a whole front section here empty because they're in Tennessee at a retreat with other campus students from around the Atlanta area. They're having a great, great time. But I'm also excited to announce, before I get into my message, that this afternoon at 3 p.m., one of our teens, Jennifer Rodriguez, is going to be getting baptized. Where are you? That's going to be exciting to see her become a new creation. It's great to be back home. I know a lot of us married. This time last week, we were at Callaway Gardens. And I know the singles and, you know, the single moms and the campus students and all the kids were back here. And if you haven't gone ahead and had a chance to listen to John Gerard's message, let me encourage you to go ahead and do so. He preached here last Sunday, and he did a tremendous job. I think we got another preacher in the church. I can tell you that right now. You need to go listen to that lesson. I have already done so. The boy can preach. So I'm excited. I need all the preachers I can get. Because this job ain't easy. Week in and week out. But you and I, we serve a powerful God. And the Bible talks a lot about power. From start to finish. As a matter of fact, we see it right from Genesis chapter 1, verse 3. Where God said, "Let there be light." And boom, you see this power that we're talking about. Power is a good thing. Now, we've got to be careful that we don't abuse power. But power is a good thing. In this country, we have political power. I'm glad they opened back up the government. Because, again, I'm thinking about people, everybody. But we got political power in this country. We got nuclear power. We got all kinds of power. We got battery power. As a matter of fact, there's a battery in my pocket. That's the reason why you can hear me through this little microphone. That battery has power. Mark Vogt sees to it that every week that thing gets charged up. Are you with me? Power is good. But this morning I want to talk to us about the power within us. The Holy Spirit. That keeps us going. I've titled this lesson, "The Power Within." You know, physically this morning, you're breathing and you walked in here and you're listening to me right now because your power source is working. That is your heart. It's beating. When that thing goes off, guess what? We call it death. You cease to exist on this side of eternity. And the truth is, for every single one of us in here, that day is coming. Amen? I didn't get a lot of amens on that one. You can't get to heaven without dying. You can't get to heaven if your heart doesn't stop beating. Okay? Don't let me start breaking it down for you. One day, this heart of mine is going to stop beating, and then I get to go be with God. Are you listening to me? Yes. One day, that's going to happen for you too. Amen? Amen? But as long as the heart continues to beat, we got power. It allows us to continue to function. In Acts chapter 2, a passage we're very familiar with, this is the day of Pentecost. The Holy Spirit had come upon them. These men are speaking different languages they had never learned. And Peter starts preaching the word of God. And he's talking to them about how they killed Jesus. And he's calling them back. And in Acts chapter 2, verse 36, Peter says, "Therefore, let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ." When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, "Brothers, what shall we do?" Peter replied, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call." With many other words, he warned them and he pleaded with them, "Save yourselves from this corrupt generation." Those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. They asked Peter, "What shall we do?" When they realized that their sins crucified the Son of God, Peter says, "I want you to repent. I want you to have a mind change. I want you to turn away from sin. And then I want you to be immersed in water." That's what that word means. Baptism, baptized is baptizo in the Greek. It means to immerse, to submerge, to sink, to put under. "I want you to change your mind, and I want you to be immersed in water in the name of Jesus Christ. This is for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the indwelling of the Holy Spirit." Our heart keeps us going physically. As Christians, the Holy Spirit is your spiritual power that's inside of you. Are you with me? The same power that raised Jesus from the dead is living inside of you and me. You and I are meant to live victorious, powerful Christian lives. None of this mamby-pamby, you know, people just think Christians are just there and they got nothing better to do with themselves. Let me tell you something. They haven't read their Bibles. We're powerful individuals. We got the Holy Spirit living inside of us. But you see, the problem is a lot of us don't use that power. A lot of us are not fanning that spirit into flame. And that's what I want to talk about this morning. You know how it is when you first became a Christian? I don't know how it was for you. I couldn't sleep that night. I stayed awake the entire night. I was so fired up to realize that, wow, all the sins I've ever committed against God, they're all gone. And all the sins that I'm going to commit in the future, God is not going to hold it against me. I couldn't sleep. I was so excited coming out of that water of baptism. Just realized that, wow, the Holy Spirit now dwells inside of me. Come on. You remember that? Here we are in 2013. How are you feeling? Is there still a bounce in your step? Are you still excited? It shouldn't be, oh, we're baptized over here and then we hit a high, and all of a sudden, as we make our way towards heaven, it's downhill from that point. It's the opposite. Where we started down over here, and then boy, oh boy, as we grow older and we get more experience, and as we grow more wiser, as we get into God's word and live according to it, that the Holy Spirit takes us places and does things in our lives we never even thought possible. That's what the power within is supposed to be doing inside of us. Listen to some of these verses. We're talking about power. He says, "He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will I know this?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God." That's Luke 1, verse 35. Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit, and news about him spread through the whole countryside. Luke chapter 4, verse 14. All the people were amazed and said to each other, "What words are these are? With authority and power, he gives orders to impure spirits and they come out." Luke 4:36. "For scripture says to Pharaoh, 'I raised you up for this very purpose, that I might display my power in you, and that my name might be proclaimed in all the earth.'" Romans chapter 9, verse 17. "The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of this world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds." 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4. "But he said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you. For my power is made perfect in weakness. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his saints, and his incomparable great power for us who believe. That power is the same as the mighty strength he exerted when he raised Jesus Christ from the dead and seated him at the right hand in the heavenly realms. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 17 to 20. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the holy people of God to grasp how wide, how long, how high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with the measure of the fullness of God. That was Ephesians 3, verse 17 to 21. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we can ask or can even imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Shout for joy to God, all the earth. Sing glory of his name. Sing the glory of his name. Make his praise glorious. Say to God, how awesome are your deeds. So great is your power that your enemies cringe before you. Psalm 66, verses 1 to 3. And finally, his divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. 2 Peter 1, verse 3. And this is just a little sampling of several pages that talk about the power of God and the power of God within us. Amen? You see, we got to ask ourselves, are we really utilizing the power that's within us? How come we don't have the power? Look in John chapter 17. Let's look at Jesus' prayer for his disciples before he left. In John chapter 17, let me hear those Bibles turning. This is not a show. I am not Bill Cosby up here trying to entertain you. I expect you to come to church with your Bible and your notepad. Amen? Some of us, we have that stuff on our phone. That's fine. But just make sure you're taking notes. All right? Make sure you're taking notes. Scientists tell us you remember it better when you write it down. So I'm all fired up for you about your iPad and iPod and whatever you got. But make sure you're taking notes. John chapter 17. In verse 11. Listen to Jesus' prayer. He says, I will remain in the world no longer. He's talking to God. He's praying. But they are still in the world, and I am coming to you, Holy Father. Protect them by the power of your name, the name you gave me, so that they may be one as we are one. While I was with them, I protected them and kept them safe by that name you gave me. None has been lost except the one doomed to destruction, so that Scripture would be fulfilled. I am coming to you now, but I say these things while I am still in the world, so that they may have the full measure of my joy within them. Amen? Amen. Jesus prayed for us. And he says, protect them. He's talking about us. He's asking God to protect us by the power of his name. Are you with me? God's name has power. The Holy Spirit has power. And God, Jesus prayed for us. And the exciting thing is, he didn't just pray this, you know, thousands of years ago. He still does it today. Scripture teaches that Jesus is seated at the right hand of God, interceding on our behalf. Jesus is still praying for you. He's still praying for me. Amen? We say, well, just praying for me. I don't have to do any praying. Oh, you better be doing a lot of praying. You better be doing a lot of asking. We're going to get to that in a second. Because you can't expect God to answer prayers you haven't prayed. Are you with me? The Bible says you have not because you ask not. There's got to be a lot of asking. And we got to make sure that what we're asking for is not for selfish gain. Amen? Very, very important. Jesus says, protect them by the power of your name. That's exciting to me. That God still prays for me. That Jesus still prays for me. Not only does Jesus intercede for us, the Bible also teaches that the Holy Spirit intercedes for us. As a matter of fact, it also says that the Holy Spirit intercedes for us before God with words that he cannot even begin to describe to us. That's exciting to me. And I think as Christians, we need to be conscious about that every day, wherever it is we go. You need to be conscious that, you know what, I got the power. There was a song that came out many years ago. You know that song? I got the power. Is that how you feel on a daily basis? If you feel that power, if you know you have that power, I promise you, people will not intimidate you. Are you with me? You got the power. Don't be afraid. You know, last Friday, you know, the 12 of us came in to help us with our marriage retreat. And Sarah and I sit at the airport waiting for them. And I see this guy just walk right in front of us. And I say, hey, Sarah, isn't that the guy from the series 24? The guy who played Agent Pierce? He said, yeah. I said, I'll be right back. I went after him. Excuse me, sir. I said, are you the guy from 24? He says, yeah. And he stopped. Shook my hand. We start talking. I said, what are you doing in Atlanta? He says, he's here, you know, he's giving a speech somewhere. And he even invites me right there. I said, man, I wish I could come. I'm on my way to a marriage. I said, I'm a minister. He goes, really? I'm a believer. And we start talking. He gives me his card. I said, you know what? My wife's got my wallet. Let me go get my card. He said, I'll come. And he comes across. Meet Sarah. Takes a picture with Sarah. I took a picture with him too. And we're talking. Then the 12 of us show up. And we stood there and we talked to him for 10 minutes. He was a very nice guy, very friendly guy. 24 is coming back next year, by the way. I am so fired up. Woo, baby. To me, that's the best series on TV. I don't know why they stopped in the first place, but it's coming back. But we're standing and we're just talking. I wasn't looking, oh yeah, look at this big celebrity. Very nice guy. Very friendly. See, we can't allow people to intimidate us. His name is Glenn Morshaw. Very nice guy. He looks exactly the way he looks on TV. But see, some of us, we still allow people to intimidate us. You're a Christian. You got an incredible power living inside of you. You should be the one that should be doing the intimidating. Hold your head up. Come on. I'm not mad. You know me, I'm a very passionate person. Come on, man. They wouldn't have that on ESPN. You got the power. Look in Psalm 18. Psalm 18. I love this passage. In Psalm 18, beginning verse 28. It says, you, O Lord, keep my lamp burning. My God turns my darkness into light. With your help, in other words, with your power, I can advance against a troop. With my God, I can scale a wall. As for God, his way is perfect. The Lord of the Lord is flawless. He is a shield for all who take refuge in him. For who is God beside the Lord? And who is the rock except our God? It is God who arms me with strength and makes my feet perfect. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer. He enables me to stand on the heights. He trains my hands for battle. My arms can bend a bow of bronze. You give me a shield of victory, and your right hand sustains me. You stoop down to make me great. You broaden the path beneath me so that my ankles do not turn. And it goes on. You see what the Spirit of God does in us? If we would let him? You see, David understood where his power came from. Why? Because he was connected to the power source. I mean, look at some of the words he used here. His strength, shield, refuge. He says, man, with God on my side, I can bend bronze. You know, like, you know, every once in a while you see these bodybuilders on TV, and they'll take an iron bar, you know, they got biceps this big, and they just go like this, and they just bend that thing. Don't try that at home, please. You don't have that kind of power. Yeah, I know a lot of them are on steroids and all that kind of stuff. That's a different day, different conversation. But they got power. But see, we got power within us. Where with the Holy Spirit, the Bible says we can scale a wall. We can advance against a troop. It is God who arms us for battle. And make no mistake about it, you and I fight that battle every single day. You know, John Becker loves boxing, okay? I used to love boxing years ago. When guys were like Sugar Ray Leonard, Muhammad Ali, Thomas Hearns. Some of you know who I'm talking about. Marvelous Marvin Hagler. That was boxing, okay? Today, they talk about Floyd Mayweather, okay? And Manny Pacquiao, okay? And I've never seen any of them fight. Now, let me tell you something. I'm 51 years old, and I'm going to get in the ring with Floyd Mayweather. John, are you with me? Okay? John is going to train me with boxing gloves and everything, okay? I'm going to get in there. You say, Richard, how much? They're going to pay me at least $1 million. Okay, but guess what? I'm going to get into a ring with Floyd Mayweather on my terms. On my terms. Okay? You say, Richard, what are your terms? Floyd Mayweather cannot and will not eat anything for 90 days. The only thing he can drink is water. He can drink all the water he wants. Then 90 days, we're going to go to the MGM Grand in Las Vegas. I am going to step into the ring with him. And I promise you, I am going to kick his behind. Why would that happen? Because, believe me, at the end of 90 days, when I hit him, when I give him, like, bam, he's going down. And he's not going to get up. Why? Because he's weak. He doesn't have the power. Are you with me? You see, a lot of us, we're weak. Spiritually. And so when the fight comes, you know, the first punch from the devil, you're on your back already. That's the problem. There is no way in the world I'm going to get into the ring with Floyd Mayweather. With that guy training and eating like normal, I wouldn't do it. You couldn't pay me $10 million to do it. That would be suicide. The guy's going to punch me one time. And I'm probably going to wake up on the other side. I kid you not. But if he doesn't eat for 90 days, I will get into the ring. You know what? You know what? You know, they'll be praying that song from Rocky. I'm going to be in that place like, hey. It's like, yeah, yeah, yeah. Come on. You know, have a good fight. Boom. I'm going to step back. You know, I'm going to dance around a little bit. And I get close and I bam. I promise you I will win that fight. But obviously, no promoter is going to agree to my terms. Okay? You see, when we're not connected to God, when we don't allow the Holy Spirit to do its work, Satan will knock you off even before you get to your car, before you get to work. We got to make sure that we're tied in to the power source. Amen? So, I'm asking us, even this morning, are we having regular daily times with the Lord? Something that basic. Brothers and sisters, that is where the power comes from. We got to make sure that we're talking to God every day. We're in our Bibles. We're on our knees. Amen? Very, very important. We're talking about getting back into spiritual shape. tapping into that power that's within us. Now look in Mark 11, and this is where I'm going to end up. Mark chapter 11. I don't know how people do box for a living, man. I'm telling you, I think they need their head examined. Man, I'm going to beat you silly. That's a hard way to make a living, man. I'm going to tell you that right now. Mark 11, in verse 20. In the morning, as they went along, they saw the fig tree withered from the roots. Peter remembered and said to Jesus, "Rabbi, look, the fig tree you cursed has withered." "Have faith in God," Jesus answered. "I tell you the truth, if anyone says to this mountain, 'Go throw yourself into the sea,' and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says will happen, it will be done for him. Therefore, I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours." Jesus says, you know what? Speak to the mountain. You know, it takes a lot of courage to say things out. You know, it's easy to say, "Oh yeah, I believe this, I believe this, and I believe this." Who have you told lately? That's the test of your faith. If you really believe it, you would say it out loud. It takes courage to really say what's going on in your mind. In terms of, you know what, this is what I'm praying for. This is what I want the Lord to do in my life and in my family and in my marriage. Put it out there. This says, speak to the mountain. He says, if anyone, I don't know about you, I'm included in that. You are too. Your last name is anyone. Our last names are everybody. Are you with me? That includes us. That's not just for a special collection of spiritual people. It's for everybody. He says, you can say to this mountain, "Go from here to there, and it will be done for you." He says, if you believe, whatever you ask for in prayer, it will be done. Are you with me? You see, Jesus doesn't do any work in the lives of people that doubt him. He just never has, and he never will do it. Because I've always believed, and I still do, that when you doubt God, you are insulting the Almighty. You are saying, "Oh, you don't have the power to do this. You don't have the power to bring this about." That's an insult. And God is not going to walk in your life. He never will, and he's not going to do it. Because he's not going to be insulted like that. Okay? God never walks in the lives of people that are doubting him. You have got to believe. And I say to you, what do you have to lose? Just believe. Are you with me? You've got to be a believer. Not just, "Oh, I believe God is working." I'm talking of God is going to do what I'm asking for him. Now, you be careful, because it does talk about in 1 John 5, it's got to be according to. Okay? But nothing stops you from praying prayers. You know, I haven't talked about this in a long time, but I will this morning again. You know, you need to have a list of what I call impossible prayers. Have you looked at that list lately? There are prayers that you and I need to be praying every single day that are impossible prayers. Some of us say, "Oh man, Richard, you just don't know my husband. That guy could never become a Christian." Yeah, that's an impossible prayer. Stop praying it, and you watch what happens. According to your faith, will it be done? If you don't believe he's not, the guy, your husband's going to make it, guess what? He's not going to make it. "Oh, well, you know, my kids have grown up now. They don't want to follow God anymore." Do you believe that they can come back and they will come back to their senses? Continue to pray those prayers. Talk to that mountain and you watch what happens. We're talking about the creator of the universe who's got all the power. What are you asking for? We got to be asking incredible things of God. Amen? Again, I'm running out of time, so you need to write these verses down. John 15, 7. Luke 11, 9. John 16, 23. Again. John 15, 7. Luke 11, 9. That's you guys that are typing. John 16, 23. Okay? Again, talks about anyone, whoever. If you ask all these things, God will do it for you. Amen? The president of the United States is Barack Obama. Okay, as we speak. I want you to imagine, okay, Don't go off on me now. Hear me out. I want you to imagine that you, seated there right now, that's your father. Barack Obama is your daddy. And he's the president of the United States, the most powerful man in the entire world. Okay, he's your daddy. He's been inaugurated. You guys are getting an Air Force One. Okay? They got two of them, by the way. And you get on board. And your the president, your father, looks at you and says, son, daughter, what would you like? He asks you that question. What would you like? I don't know about you. I'm going to say, when we get off, can I fly the plane? And hey, this is just me, okay? And I'm going to take a picture. Now, yeah, I'm just going to sit there at the controls. I'm going to take a picture. I'm not going to put it on Twitter or Facebook or anything because I'm going to get in trouble. But I would love to fly that plane. That's what I would love to do. When they ask me, what do I want to eat? Man, give me some nice filet mignon. Very well done with mashed potatoes on the side. And some nice apple juice. For dessert, you know, I'm going to want some apple pie with ice cream. I mean, this is Air Force One, man. My father is the president. That's what I would be asking for. I don't know what you would ask for. Now, supposing somebody in here, again, Barack Obama is the president, and that's their father, and he asked, son, daughter, what would you like? What do you want? Well, Dad, all I want is a bag of peanuts. He's going to go, excuse me? I just want a little bag of peanuts like they give you on Delta Airlines. Knock yourself out. Here's a bag of peanuts. They got tons of them. I pray that all of us in here will not arrive at the end of our lives and all we did the whole time was asking God for peanuts when we could have asked to fly the plane. He's the God Almighty, the creator of everything. And here you are, you're asking little mamby-pamby things of him on a daily basis in your prayer life. Come on! Ask for some big stuff. Again, I'm not upset. I'm very passionate. This is just who I am. This is the way I've been my whole life. And it's not about to change, okay? But you see, I want you to hear me out here. What are you asking God for? Do you really understand the power that you have that's living inside of you? It's as if God has given us a blank check. You know, we all gave our contribution this morning. I promise you, everybody filled out the amount. Can you imagine if I left my space blank and I'm a multi-millionaire and every week these brothers have the opportunity, just fill in whatever it is you want. Of course they will go to town. They're not just going to write $10. I promise you that. They will not do it. If I give them a blank check and say, you know what, I got billions of dollars, just fill in the amount. Every single day, through prayer, we have a blank check from the Almighty. What kind of numbers are you writing in? Are you asking for peanuts? That needs to change. Because you have an incredible power within you. Because if you ask anything according to His will, if it has to do with His church and advancing His cause, He hears you and He's going to do it for you. And He will transform you into that. That's what we're talking about. In closing, I want you to look at 2 Chronicles 32 from verses 7 to 8, where it says, for there is a greater power with us than with him. With him is the arm of flesh, but with us is the Lord our God to help us and to fight our battles. The power within. Stop asking for peanuts. Amen? You got the same power that raised from the dead living inside of you. Use it every day to the glory of God. God bless.
All right, let us pray and then we'll be dismissed. Great God Almighty, we praise you. We thank you for all the greatness that we see in the universe around us. God, we praise you for the glorious sunset we witnessed last night, for the brilliant full moon that prevailed through the night, for the misty dawn that greeted us this morning. God, your works of nature are just abundant and powerful, and we praise you for that. But God, this message that we just heard about how your power is at work within us through your Holy Spirit, God, we pray that we will see that in every aspect of our lives, that we will use this day and the days you give us to work in your body of the church through the power of your Holy Spirit, through the unity of peace and the bond of love. God, we pray that we might be able to examine ourselves every day to follow you and to watch our lives, that we might grow in you. God, we pray with the as the psalmist David wrote, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me, and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." We pray this in Jesus, our Lord, our Christ, and amen. You're dismissed.